Well, hey, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me?
What?
He's always laughing at me. I don't know why I do that so funny all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you had a good one.
Yeah, we're going to review two movies today.
That are kind of... Well, the weird thing about it is that Ginger Dead Man... It's not clear whether it's set on Christmas or not, but I guess because it's gingerbread men, then it's still kind of Christmassy.
Yeah.
And then the second movie, The Brain, is absolutely set at Christmas time, although that doesn't super factor into the plot all that much, but that's okay.
Out of the two, I like The Brain a lot better. That was almost like a Cronenberg flick.
Yeah.
It had a lot of good ideas.
It did, yeah.
I can't believe I didn't see this movie.
Me too. I don't know how
I
missed it.
I would have liked this one.
I don't know how I missed it.
Yeah. Ginger Dead Man, Gary Busey's in it. Doing what he does,
boosying up the place,
and he's really only in it for like the first fucking 10-15 minutes. Does a stunning performance like he does, and then from then on out he's just the voice of this monster,
you want to call it.
It kind of looks like him, but it kind of got the teeth right.
Well, those are pretty distinctive. You know what I mean?
Other than that, it's just like a 90s horror flick.
Even though it came out in 2005.
Was it 2005?
Yeah.
It felt like a 90s horror flick.
It did, kind of.
Although you're right, 2005, the girls had white belts and little pink belts in their pants and shit and cute hair. You know, it was that early 2000s look. It did have cute girls in it. That's about it. It was just tacky. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. By today's standards, a lot better than, like, some of the fucking crappy B-movies that you'd find, you know, by Troma or something, you know. It was better than that. It at least had some artistic talent to it. They tried.
The thing about it, the Ginger Dead Man, this was actually Charles Band, this one, he's real famous for doing these kind of B-movies like this. And the movie, I didn't even realize, both of these are on Shudder, actually. If you have Shudder, they're in the Unhappy Holidays section. This movie is only 71 minutes long. And you can tell that there was a lot of padding in there. Because, as cool as it was when the Ginger Dead Man finally comes to life and starts rampaging around, I didn't realize that there was going to be so much of, like, a love triangle story in there, too.
Yeah.
Like, between the girl at the bakery and then the delinquent guy and the bitchy girl.
Yeah, and her dad.
And her dad. And
yeah.
And another thing I didn't realize until I looked up the notes, looked up the Wikipedia page afterward, is, like, all the characters had, like, the main girl that worked at the bakery, her name was Sarah Lee. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, like, the delinquent's last name was Cadbury.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then, like, the guy that owned the place across the street was named Jimmy Dean, you know, like the sausage or whatever. And so they all had, like... all had those kind of names.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. The Ginger Dead Man is a great concept. I kind of feel like... I haven't seen, like, a shit ton of Charles Band's movies, but all of the ones I've seen, it's like they always come up with, like, a really good concept, but I always feel like the concepts are way funnier than the execution ends up being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like back in the 80s. Back in the VHS days, where you and your friends would go down to fucking Blockbuster. Or what was the other one? Nighttime Video. Isn't that the other one? Nighttime Video?
No.
What was the other one? Showtime.
Showtime. I don't remember.
Yeah, the one where you
Movie
could get,
Gallery.
You could get R-rated and X-rated movies there at that one.
Yeah.
Well, they would... At that particular rental place... They had kind of like the harder slashers type movies. And it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid back in the 80s. Every time a new movie would come out, it would have some kind of gimmicky premise. You know what I mean? Of where the monster came from. And it was the same kind of contrivances, but it was different. It was different every time, you know what I mean? And in this one, the idea is that a serial killer who wiped out a bunch of people... Played by Boosie. He gets electrocuted on the fucking electric chair, and somehow his ashes end up in a pack of fucking gingerbread spice mix.
They imply that his mom put them in there.
Yeah, his mom.
Like, because she's a witch or something.
Right. Which, okay, whatever. And the spice mix gets used in a bakery where it's owned by the survivors of one of his massacres.
Right.
So the spice mix gets used in some dough, which gingerbread men are not made out of dough, but that's what they made it. You know,
that's a weird way, because we're looking at it
that's
going...
bread dough.
That's bread dough. That is clearly not gingerbread. It's like not even the same consistency. Right. And I love, too, that she spreads out, because the blood dripped in it, too, because, of course, that also had to work.
Yeah.
So I love how she spread the dough out, and then she had one gingerbread man cookie cutter that was big.
Yeah, it was like that. Like a foot tall.
It was like tall as like a Barbie doll or something.
Yeah.
She makes like one thing and then takes all the dough and
stuff. Throws it away.
I don't know if she threw it away. Yeah. But I was like, so you're she after all one, that, you're all just going to make
just one. One.
And she's going to put that in the big industrial oven. Just the one.
So they bake it and it comes out looking like fucking Gary Busey and everything, his face and shit. And it's his face and his voice. And he comes out, it's kind of like Chucky.
I was going to say, this is pretty much exactly like Child's Play.
Like
because Child's Play, that was also a serial killer, and he like transferred his soul into the doll. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
So it's like Chucky.
It's the same kind of thing.
Except he's a gingerbread man running around. He's got a face that looks a little bit like fucking Brucey.
Yeah.
But it's definitely his voice coming out. And it's just a horror slasher comedy. There isn't a lot of action in it, but it does have some, you know what I mean? Shit does happen. But it's padded out a little bit with like love stories and cute girls and shit. That's just what you're supposed to do. No nudity in it.
I was gonna say no nudity.
No nudity, which is not a true '80s. It's not a true to form '80s or '90s horror. They would have thrown the nudity in there. They wouldn't. No reason to have girls in any slasher movie if they're not gonna take their tops off.
That's I mean, that's kind of.
That's why you were watching it.
They knew that. So if you see a slasher with no titties in it, you're just you kind of feel ripped off. You know what I mean?
Right. But by the time 2004 was around, there was already internet porn, so the demand wasn't there.
Right. Yeah. It's not quite the same thing.
We didn't have porn back then, so you couldn't buy the magazines. You were underage.
You had to take it where you.
But
could
you
get
could
it.
Rent this shit. You know what I mean? You could rent it at fucking Blockbuster and see some titties.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, man. Oh, it looked nice.
All right, titties.
Yeah, yeah. You can talk about it. That's what teenage boys did, man.
Sat around rating the titties.
Yeah. And most girls had no interest in these movies, although they would watch them with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Jen was one of the girls that liked them. But I think most girls didn't like them.
Slashers aren't my favorite subgenre of horror, but I like them. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I like all kind of horror movies, pretty much. But, you know. I like supernatural horror. I like haunted house type shit, psychological horror stuff. But I like slashers, too, if I'm in the mood. You know what I mean?
But the ones that started them for me were, like, Cronenberg movies.
Yeah.
And then it got into, like, the Lovecraft movies with, you know, Reanimator and From Beyond and Reanimator 2 and Hellraiser a little bit, but then the early Friday the 13th ones, the Freddy Krueger movies,
Nightmare on Elm Street,
and Child's Play, just shit like that, you know.
Fright Night, that was one of my favorite movies in the 80s. But
So
like I said, I kind of feel like this one, you're going to love this, because I was like, I know Ginger Dead Man has a sequel. It does, in fact, have two direct sequels. Ginger Dead Man 2, The Passion of the Crust.
Yeah, we saw that one.
We didn't watch it, but
we saw the advertisement for it.
And then part 3 is called Saturday Night Cleaver.
Okay.
And the Ginger Dead Man goes back in time, like, to the disco era. And starts killing
Busey
people.
Busey does the voice?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if Gary Busey was in it. The funny thing about it, I was reading about this on Wikipedia, and they said that Charles Band, like, actually went to Gary Busey and offered him $25,000 to do the movie, and he didn't think he would do it because he didn't think it would be enough, but he's just like, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If I can do it in one day, I can be in and out of there. I'll do all the voice acting. Don't call me back here. I got to go back to the bar.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. And one thing about Boosie is, and he's been in a lot of movies that he played a lot of roles that I liked, like the, in that Krussel flick, fucking Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that. He played a good character. Well, Fucking, he played in that one of my favorite Steven Seagal movies, fucking Under Siege.
Yeah, that's right.
And one thing about Boosie is that he doesn't phone the shit in. He fucking chews up the whole fucking scenery.
Well, that's why you get Gary Boosie.
You get Gary Boosie, you're going to get your money's worth out of it. He's a fucking trip. Just see Silver Bullet. That's what he was at. He was at his zenith.
He was at his Boosiest.
The most Boosiest of all Boosies. And his son is good, too. We just saw him last night in fucking...
The Frighteners. We rewatched The Frighteners again last night, which has Jake Busey in it.
Yeah, if you see the director's edition on Blu-ray, man, that cut is fucking awesome. That movie's a masterpiece.
Yeah, we love that movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, we watched that again last night. We were drinking on Christmas.
Yeah, and his son, man, he Boosies the fuck out in that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was also in Nazis at the Center of the Earth. He was good at that.
That's
too.
That's right. Yeah. We never did review that, did we? Or did we?
Well, I think maybe we did.
I don't remember if we did or not. That was a good movie, too. But yeah, so,
documentary.
So they did those two sequels. They were going to do another one that was going to be called Rebaked, but they never did make it. But then there's a whole bunch of crossover movies with Evil Bong. So there's Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong, and then I think there's two other ones where there's like a crossover. And there's also a comic series, which is called Baking Bad. And I was just like... this is what I mean about, like, the concept for these and, like, the titles and stuff are, like, way funnier than the movie ends up being.
Yeah.
This does have its moments, but I feel like if you're going to have a movie called The Ginger Dead Man about, like, a little killer gingerbread man, then I think it needed to lean harder into that conceit. Well, I mean, I guess they couldn't afford it. And like
budgetary problems.
Sure. I mean, the whole thing is shot in one room, essentially. Well, no, that's not true. But it's shot about, like, it was shot in a bakery and around the bakery.
Yeah, and whenever they have, like, an establishing shots of the bakery, it's obvious that the bakery sign is just a fucking tarp over the sign with a hand-painted fucking cheap-looking sign.
Because the first time I saw that sign, I was like, oof! that sign is so bad.
Yeah, looks like it was done by a teenage girl.
Not painted even.
Finger paint.
Yeah, it's like, looked like batik or something like that.
It's terrible.
DVD Dragon said Gary Busey probably wanted to snort the flower. Yeah. Yeah, he probably did.
Yeah.
Maybe he did when they weren't looking. You know what
Busey
I mean?
Busey probably did this shit in 2 days. 2-3 days.
Because the only scene that he's in, like, with his face...
Opening scene.
...is the opening scene where he blows all those people away in the diner. And then you don't see him again. No. You just hear his voice. So... I imagine they probably could do that. Well, shit, man, that one scene, they probably just shot that in a fucking hour.
Yeah, probably shot him in one day.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Then did the voiceovers.
Because it doesn't really seem... And honestly, there's, you know, he's in it, and he says funny shit, but it's like, he's not in it a lot, you know what I mean? Because like I said, I didn't realize how much of the movie was going to be taken up with Sara Lee, the girl that runs the bakery, and her... budding romance with the delinquent guy whose name was, what was his name? Amos. But his last name was Cadbury.
Yeah. This is supposed to be happening in Texas.
Yeah, Waco, Texas.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of Southernisms going on. And you can tell that some of the actors are not Southerners. They're faking it. But I think the star of the show, I think that one girl that does say, that was a convincing Southern accent.
Yeah.
She might be from the South. She might have just been hamming it up a little bit.
Robin Sidney, I think her name was.
Yeah.
The dark-haired girl, you mean?
Yeah.
Like the main actress.
The main actress. She did sound Southern.
Tammy said, do they have a Little Debbie? No, but they should have.
Yeah.
Damn it. Missed opportunity. Maybe in some of the sequels. I don't know if I'd want to watch the sequels, though, because I probably feel like the titles are funnier than the actual. Because as soon as I saw that the second one was called Passion of the Crust, I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. But I don't know if the movie can live up to that, you know what I mean? But it's just kind of like, I don't know. So, I liked it. It was fun. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
But I thought it should have been funnier.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been crazier.
Yeah.
It should have been crazier.
Definitely should have been some fucking nude scenes in it, some sex.
Tom's like, no boobs.
Yeah. What kind of goes along with the genre.
Yeah.
It kind of adds more authenticity to it.
You know, if they were trying to make something that was just kind of like
they did give you some down blouses and shit, but
yeah
but it's just,
but even the one girl that got, you know, the other girl that worked in the bakery.
The Hispanic girl, yeah.
Yeah, they put her in the freezer.
Yeah.
And, like, pulled her out, and she had, like, frosting all over, and she had, like, cherries on her titties. But then, like, when they moved the frosting, she still had her clothes on.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we're not doing that. Yeah. But, yeah, there's no nudity. And like I said, so it was a lot of hanging around in the bakery.
Right.
Talking and hiding from the little. But like I said, I guess they didn't really have a lot of money, so.
Right.
But
what was missing is that they should have been making out and half nude and, like, you know, sex happened and somebody gets killed.
Yeah.
That's got to happen in an American horror movie.
Yeah.
You got to be killed for having sex.
Yeah.
It's you saw the titties and then she gets killed.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
That's the slasher rules.
Right, yeah. You should have never taken your shirt off.
That's just, yeah, that's what happens.
She wanted horse. If you didn't pull your pants down, she'd still be alive.
Right? Yeah, it's exactly like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the concept of this, but the movie was just okay.
Yeah, it was just okay.
Like, it was fun, but
I wasn't pissed off or anything.
Yeah, yeah. It was
satisfying.
It was entertaining enough, yeah. And like, I liked the little puppet. Like, he was pretty cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said,
corny.
Yeah. And I did like the Killsbury Doughboy line. Okay, that actually made me laugh out loud. But, you know, because I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty funny. But yeah, overall, it's like, I wish it had been funnier or, like, crazier or, like, more over the top. You know what I mean? It almost seemed like it was trying to be, in parts, like, a serious movie. Kind of.
Yeah,
Which I don't think they should have done that. You know?
I think they were just trying to knock that bitch out. I think they were just trying to knock the movie out, trying to get the movie
done. It's barely over an hour. Like I said, it's 71 minutes. Yeah.
I think they were just trying to get the movie done.
Yeah, I guess they were, yeah. But, you know, it was pretty fun for all that. So then, the other movie that we watched, we actually watched this one last night.
This one's a lot better.
And we went through Shudder's Unhappy Holidays section. And we had seen and or reviewed pretty much all the Christmas movies that were in there, except for this one, because they just added this one. Now, I will note that this movie, I don't know if I'd call it a Christmas horror. It is set at Christmas, because everybody's got trees everywhere and shit like that. But it's like, I don't think Christmas really plays into the plot all that much.
They shoehorned that shit in there to make this a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but it's just, yeah, it's not like a Christmas, like, it's not like Santa go around axing people to death or nothing like that. It's just, it happens to be Christmas when all the stuff is going on.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So that's kind of why they put, so it's technically a Christmas movie, I guess. So this is called The Brain, and it came out in 1988, and I had seen the cover for this in the video store back in the day, but I never rented it. And it's, now I kind of wish I had, because this was actually, like, way better than I was expecting it to be.
It had a dumb cover. The problem is that they showed you the monster right on the cover, and it didn't look that good on the cover, so it just looked like a kid's movie. But it's actually pretty good. It had some good ideas in it, more kind of like something along the lines Cronenberg would have done.
Yeah, it gave me a very Cronenberg vibe.
Yeah, it takes place. It's shot at the Kodak headquarters up in Canada, so it has a real high tech look to it. It's at some film place, and it looks kind of futuristic. And there's like this futuristic bio lab, and they're making this damn brain. It's a brain creature, and the scientist that's making it is the same scientist from
Reanimator,
and David From Beyond.
Yeah,
From Beyond. It's the older guy, the guy who's fucking his severed head was going down on the chick.
On Barbara Crampton.
Yeah, Crampton. Yeah. That was a great scene.
That was a great scene.
It's an epic scene, man. An epic scene in Hollywood history, man.
The first time I saw that movie, I'm like, holy shit.
Severed head going down on fuck some beautiful ass 22-year-old
awesome.
Barbara Crampton. Yeah. She's going, ah!
Well, yeah, I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Nobody wants that to happen.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, just like, I love the audacity of that scene. Yeah. It was so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this has David Gale in it, and so yeah, it gave me like an old Cronenberg meets all it's like kind of like They Live a little bit. It gave me a little bit of a They Live kind of vibe. Because was the brain? Did the dude make the brain or no? I thought they were aliens.
I'd have to watch it again to get all the details.
I thought
but
it
they
was
were growing it too. Weren't they?
And either that or that was like the vat, energy. The vat that it had to live in.
And then it jumped out of there and ate a woman that was going to rat him out.
Yeah.
They just let her eat. They just sat there and watched it while it ate her. And it got more powerful.
They got, like, bigger, like, every time they ate a person.
It got bigger, and it added people to its network. It was like, it was kind of like something out of Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something.
Yeah, but it kind of reminded me of that a little bit, too.
I really understand what it was doing. It was adding their minds to it.
I think that's what it was doing, because it was starting to control everybody's mind. So it was very much like Invasion of the Body Snatchers in that way.
Yeah.
But it's weird, because... So, yeah, so what happens is, and it's almost kind of like a teen movie, too, because you got, like, a bunch of high school students, and the main character is this teenage guy named Jim, I think was his name. And he's kind of a troublemaker, you know, putting, like, sodium tablets down the toilets and blowing them up and stuff like that.
They're sending there for behavioral therapy.
Yeah, so then there's this behavioral institute called the, what was it called, the psychiatric, it was called PCI or something like that. And
become a free thinker.
Yeah. And then David Gale also has like a local TV show in this one town, which I think is called Meadowvale. Yeah. And it's called Independent Thinking.
The Independent Thinking.
But it's kind of like a brainwashy kind of show.
Yeah.
One review I saw kind of compared it to like Scientology, like the stuff he was saying, which I guess is kind of like that.
It goes very Cronenberg. It's like, you know, where the bad guys own companies and they're working for, you know, they're doing weird shit. Paranormal and alien shit through company fronts.
Yeah, and like trying to take over people's minds. So essentially, the TV show, David Gale, knows about this brain, obviously. Like, whether he came to this planet with the brain or whether... Because they turned out, spoiler alert, that he's not human either, right? Because they showed that at the end. But, so I don't know if he came to Earth and like brought this brain with him and we're gonna like he has the show and he's gonna like hypnotize everybody, so he's like hypnotizing all these people and they're just doing it in this one town, and then they're gonna go nationwide. So like at the end they're like, oh, you know, the show's going national when they get enough people hypnotized to, because you're led to assume the brain gets bigger and bigger and bigger like as the movie goes on. It's not always just eating people. I think like as he absorbs people's minds or hypnotizes them, like, it makes him more powerful, so he gets bigger. Because at the end... Ooh, that scared the shit out of me. That scared the shit out of me. But, like, because at the end, it's not confined to its tank anymore. It's kind of... It can, like, you know, move around by itself. I actually really like the creature effects on this. I think the brain looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all practical effects.
Yeah, it's just like a big, huge...
green brain, and then a face comes out of it, and it gets bigger, and it's just...
He's got big teeth and shit like that.
Big fucking fangs on it. It's just kind of like a human face.
Yeah, it's cool looking. So it's like a monster movie, but he's got, like, tentacles and shit. And when you get mind-controlled by the brain, too, like, you start having hallucinations. And actually, the opening sequence of the movie was pretty great, because, like, this girl, who you find out later had been to this institute... Like, she starts having hallucinations, and she's, like, in her room, and, like, her teddy bear starts crying blood, and tentacles and shit, like, start coming out the walls, and, like, the walls start closing in and stuff like that. It was, like, a really good opening scene. Then you don't really know the context of it, like, until later on.
Yeah, and she kills the mom, jumps out the window.
Yeah, and shit, like that. So, but then later on, you find out that she went there, and they were, like, mind-controlling people and stuff. But it did give me... It's not, like, as serious or as weird as a Cronenberg movie, but it gave me that same sort of vibe. It's kind of like if David Cronenberg had directed, like, a teen horror movie, kind
of. Kind of like Night of the Comet, that similar tone.
Yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like that. So if David Cronenberg had directed Night of the Comet,
right,
and there was an alien brain in it, then it would kind of be like this. Yeah. The only criticism, I thought it went on slightly too long, like, especially, like, some of the chase scenes, where they were kind of chasing Jim around toward the end, because they kind of hypnotized everybody in the town into thinking that he was a murderer, like that he had killed people that he hadn't killed. So everybody was like, so it was kind of becoming like a witch hunt. Like everybody was like, it's him, he's the murderer, you know what I mean? So it was that kind of shit.
He's got this little female sidekick running around with him. She's cute as shit.
His girlfriend,
She's wearing the 80s of the most 80s outfit you'll ever fucking see.
It was.
That bitch was turquoise.
It's like Tom said that. I just like, turquoise. Please remember to say that on the show. He's like, it's turquoise.
Turquoise, because they'd have been all valley girls. They would say turquoise. It's turquoise.
It's turquoise.
Be like turquoise and fucking pink stripes and everything super big and baggy. And I was like, what would that look like if somebody wore that today? Fucking Jenny said, like crap. Like you went to it looks like you went to the fucking to the secondhand store and bought that. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. And like only a super skinny, cute little girl who's like 22 could pull that off. Anybody else, you'd look like a big old bag in that shit.
Yeah. Everything we said, that's what we were talking. We got off on this whole long tangent.
Yeah.
Like because of this outfit, which was pretty incredible. But
baggy as fuck.
Well, the thing about that shirt, the pink and turquoise one, was that I'm pretty sure that my cousin had almost that exact shirt. It might have been that exact shirt. It was kind of turtlenecky, was it not? And it had like big, fat, you know, pink and turquoise stripes. Right. That was just good. I said, no, I'm going to say it like that forever. Yeah, so thanks. Yeah, and then she had a skirt on and then leggings underneath that.
Yeah.
And then socks and then little tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes.
To this big, huge, baggy
turquoise
jacket.
Yeah.
That was like all the way down to her back ankles. Of her knees, I think.
Yeah, back of her knees.
It was big and kind of puffy.
Yeah, like a hand grenade jacket.
Kind yeah, of. I'm like, what?
With
oh my
a,
God.
With a big collar on it.
And she's wearing that to like bust into the insane asylum to bust her boyfriend out. Which, I got to
stylish as shit.
Yeah, she did, I'm sitting there going, that is quite a girlfriend right there. She's
bust
like,
you out of the mental
hospital. Bust you out of the mental hospital. That's the kind of girlfriend you want right there. Yeah. She's going to come get your ass out of there.
Yeah.
Because she knew something bad was going on.
Yeah.
She had a friend too. Oh, can we say too that one of the dudes in this that plays one of the like the nurse guy that's like the right hand man of David Gale is played by George Buza, and he's in a fuck ton of stuff, but as soon as I saw him, even though he was way younger in this movie, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh my God, it's Santa from A Christmas Horror Story, that anthology Christmas horror movie that came out in 2016, and he was instantly recognizable. I was like, even though this movie came out in 1988, so he was obviously like much, much younger, but I immediately was like, hey, it's the guy that played Santa. I mean, he's been in a ton of other stuff, too. He's in this a lot, actually.
Yeah, he's
he like ended up being like a main character.
Yeah, he's kind of like the main henchman to the bad guy.
Yeah, he was like, so he was always just kind of like choosing
kind of like the Igor.
Yeah, kind of. Except like eviler, I guess. Right. But yeah, so this was actually a little bit of a hidden gem, I thought. Like I said, there was some scenes that I thought kind of went on slightly too long. Like some of the chase scenes and stuff probably didn't need to be that. But I think that was really the only criticism I had.
Yeah.
I thought, you know.
It's one I couldn't believe I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, me too.
I remember seeing the video at the store and I was like, no, I don't want that one. Just kept passing it up. It was pretty good. It kind of like one, I couldn't believe I saw that one. And I mentioned it earlier, was fucking Night of the Comet. Can't believe I didn't see that. I would have liked that also. But, you know, caught him later.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't see him.
We neglected to mention, too, that one of Jim's friends, male friends in the movie, has the curliest, poofiest, mulletiest, 80s-est hair that you just have ever seen. Well, and it's crazy because the girlfriend has, like, you know, because in the 80s, the girls had a big, huge poofy hair with like all the shellac on it, but her hair looked normal. You could wear it today and no one would say it. Would just look it was just kind of straight. She had bangs and stuff like that. It didn't look dated or anything.
It would probably consider it to be like a futuristic haircut.
Yeah, maybe that's
and
what
she
it
had
was
that futuristic looking haircut. Yeah,
but man, that the guy's friend though, he had like it was like it was something else.
They were trying to look real stylish.
It kind of looked like I feel like John Taylor from Duran Duran had hair like that for a little while. Maybe not quite as poofy, but you seem like you're
sleepy.
Kind of, yeah. Well, you know, we kind of stayed up and drank a lot last night because it was Christmas Eve, and so and then I think we slept till 10:30.
Yeah.
And got up and opened presents, and then we've been stuffing our faces all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, getting sleepy.
Yeah. But I mean, we had good. Tom made a big ass ham and scalloped potatoes.
Yeah.
Brazilian cream corn. Got some pies.
Yeah.
Got some rolls, got all kind of stuff down there. Sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
It's good. But yeah. Oh, we got a bunch of booze for Christmas, too.
Yeah.
A fuck ton.
Yeah. We'll drink it.
Not tonight. No. We can't drink it all tonight.
We'll drink it up. We'll
die.
Yeah.
If we drank it all this evening. But yeah. All right, so yeah, Tammy said, "Don't feel bad, Tom. I've never seen either of these movies."
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
these were the off-brand movies, but yeah, they're pretty good.
Like I said, Ginger Dead Man, you're probably not missing much because I kind of feel like the concept is funnier than the actual movie.
But, I can recommend The Brain.
But The Brain, I actually liked it. Yeah. I was like, it was a lot better than I was expecting. Yeah, a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah, if you want to watch an '80s movie you hadn't seen, this was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. And like I said, it's technically a Christmas movie because it takes place on Christmas, but it doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas, but. Ooh. It just kind of happens around that time. All right, so I guess we're going to wrap it up and maybe go recover.
And I got to take the garbage out.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because garbage would normally come today, but obviously it's a holiday, so we got to put it out. And we've got all kind of garbage.
Got all kinds of garbage.
Boxes and paper and all kind of shit. So, yeah, hopefully you guys have a good rest of your Christmas day. And we will... I don't know if I'm going to stream tomorrow because I did finish a book, but I haven't... you know, so I don't know if I'm going to be ready to do a stream tomorrow, but if not, I might do it on Thursday because I finally finished reading Slewfoot. Sorry it took like so long for me to finish it, but yeah, I finally finished it. So that's probably what the book review will be. So it'll either be tomorrow or Thursday. And then Wednesday night, Tammy will be very excited to know that the show is going to be about the Twin Flames universe cult.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, so actually we might watch, because I think there's a couple documentaries about that on Netflix that we might want to watch.
Okay, yeah.
You know, just in preparation. So, yeah. So have a good rest of your Christmas, you guys. And we will see you guys again probably Wednesday.